In the third Aliyah of Vayigash, Yosef is reunited with his brother Binyamin, his only full brother, and the Pasuk tells us, Vayipol al tzavarei Binyamin achiv vayevk, u Binyamin bacha al tzavarav. They embraced and they both cried. And Rashi tells us, quoting from the Gemara in Megillah and Daf Tezayin Amid Beis, that their crying was actually motivated by a vision that they had, Baruch HaKodesh, of the two Batei Mikdash that would be destroyed, that would be in the portion of Binyamin, and of Shiloh that would be destroyed, that would be in the portion of Yosef. And it's a little surprising because we wouldn't think that we would need an explanation. It's enough to see that there's an emotional reunion here. It doesn't seem like there's any need for any extra reason. So the commentaries discuss what emerges from the pasuk that pushes in this direction. Some point to the symbolism of the neck as a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. The Vilna Gaon suggests the neck is the connection between that which is above and that which is below. And therefore, the Beis HaMikdash is properly symbolized by it. Similarly, the Maharsha understands it to refer to that which holds you up. Nonetheless, it's hard to see why the pasuk has to be read in any other than a literal way. The plural form is actually common for this word, as the Torah Tamima and others discuss. Nonetheless, the idea that there is a symbolism here is a topic of much discussion. Rav Soloveitchik suggests that all of the tzar in the world is because of Sinas Chinam, and therefore that being the cause of the destruction of the Batei Mikdash is evoked at this time. The Oznayim LeTorah suggests that it was relevant at this stage because now with the brothers coming down to Mitzrayim, this is the beginning of the Galus, so therefore this is a time to take note of the future of the destruction of the Batei Mikdash. Rav Shimon Schwab, in his Sefer, quotes a fascinating observation by Rav Motl Pogromansky, who was a tremendous Talmud Chacham who died very young. And he noted that we know that we have an idea that there are tears of sadness and tears of joy, but even tears of joy are also connected to sadness. And he explained that the Mishkan and the Batei Mikdash, by their construction and by providing a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu here on earth, brought simcha into the world, and the Churban brought tears into the world. And therefore, whenever there is simcha, after the Churban, it's like an island of joy in a sea of sadness. And therefore, the idea of tears of joy represents the fact that there is still a mixture of sadness and happiness together. And when we pray for a future, as the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, Umacha Hashem Dima, that God will erase all tears, it doesn't just mean tears of sadness, it means tears of happiness also, because even those tears reflect the mixture of sadness also. And indeed, the idea that one cries when one is happy is because there is a mixture of sadness that's being released. There's a sense of relief. It has to come from an aspect of sadness that's mixed in with that emotion. And the message here seems to be that we pray for a future when there will be joy that is pure and doesn't have to have any admixture of any kind of negative emotion, and that's what we look for in this Zman HaMashiach. The next pasuk tells us that Yosef kisses all of his brothers. So what's the significance of this? Does this mean to say that he forgives them? Indeed, the same Gemara that talks about why he and Binyamin were crying does suggest that he was trying to convey to his brothers that he felt the same about them that he does about Binyamin, that just as he has no grudge against Binyamin because he was innocent, he has no grudge against them either. So is that what he means to convey with kissing them? So this is actually a topic of much discussion. Rabbeinu Bachya has a comment in Parshas Vayechi where he asserts that the whole gezerah of the Asara Harugei Malchus is because of the sin of Mechiras Yosef due to the fact that Yosef never explicitly forgives them. It's a topic of much discussion in Parshas Vayechi, whether indeed there was actual forgiveness from Yosef to the brothers. And Rabbeinu Bachya understands that Yosef never explicitly forgave them, and that's why there was the gezerah of the Asara Hugei Malchus. So if that's the case, it seems that this kissing of them was not actually an act of mechila. And this is a topic that many of the Sfarim discuss, and there is the suggestion that perhaps there is a line to be drawn, a distinction that could be made, that on the one hand, there is the idea that someone gives up any sense of anger at the offender. He has no hard feelings anymore. There is what we call a mechila belev. And then there is a formal mechila, which is a release of all claims one has against the offender. So it could be that Yosef indeed had no feelings of anger against the brothers, and certainly that seems to be expressed by his words and his actions, but he doesn't formally release them of any liability. And perhaps there is that component that is necessary as well. There is an extensive discussion in Halacha about the chiyuv of requesting mechila and of granting mechila, and it could be that there are indeed these two components, and Yosef was providing one without the other, and without having the formal waiver of claims, the brothers still had this terrible price to pay, which resulted in all of these consequences down the line. This seems to be different than the position of Rashi, because Rashi has a tshuva, Resh Mem Hei, in his tshuvas, where he discusses the case of somebody who took a shvua not to forgive someone, and the question was, is he allowed to kiss that person? And Rashi understands that this individual is not permitted to kiss the one who he has sworn not to forgive, and it seems as if he's understanding that that is a act of formal mechila, because presumably the oath wouldn't stop him from giving up an internal grudge. That's something that happens automatically. So presumably the prohibition that he took upon himself with the shvua is not to formally forgive the individual. And if he understands that kissing the individual constitutes that formal release, so it would sound like that's what's going on here also. So perhaps Rashi disagrees with the interpretation of Rabbeinu Bachya. There are others who have other suggestions, or Schnerbuch has a tshuva in which he suggests that maybe there was a mechila to the brothers, but there wasn't a mechila from Yaakov. And the sale of Yosef was a tremendous source of anguish to him, and that wasn't forgiven, and perhaps that was the reason for the Asara Haruge Malchus. Others suggest, there are discussions about this in the Svarim Chavetzela Sasharon and Arugas Habosem, contemporary Svarim that were written by two brothers-in-law. So among the suggestions is that even within the Aveira itself, there are two components. There is the component of the anguish that is caused to the victim, and there is the sin against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here, Yosef doesn't feel any complaints, he doesn't feel any grudge, particularly because, as he expresses to his brothers, he understands that this is all part of God's plan, and God had orchestrated everything that happened, so therefore he didn't feel any reason to bear a grudge against them. But nonetheless, what they did was still an Aveira, and it still had an aspect of an Adam L'makom, and therefore they had to go through the process of Bakashas Mechila, of actually asking for forgiveness, in order to fully do tshuva for that Aveira. So having failed to do so, they still carried a liability and had these terrible consequences in the future. Once again, we find the process of tshuva and mechila beneath the surface throughout these parshios, and many important lessons to be learned.